You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Tonight, the Supreme Court showdown after the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And word tonight on how this country will honor her. First, President Trump this evening promising to nominate a woman to the Supreme Court as early as Friday. The president pushing for a vote in the Senate before the election. A short time ago, ABC News confirming the president did meet today with federal judge Amy Coney Barrett, one of his top contenders. Justice Ginsburg's granddaughter revealing her final wish to, quote, not be replaced until a new president is installed. And the president's reaction today to that statement, what Joe Biden is now saying as the nation mourns the loss of an American icon. She'll make history again, the first woman ever to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol. The coronavirus here in the U.S. as this country is set to mark 200,000 American lives lost. Tonight, the audio. President Trump giving himself an A-plus for his response to the virus. And the CDC with new guidance this morning. What they said about respiratory droplets or small particles in the air, such as those in aerosols, saying they can be inhaled into the nose, mouth, airways, saying this is thought to be the main way the virus spreads. Then just hours later, changing their guidance again. So what are Americans to believe on the virus and particles in the air? States of emergency as we come on the air tonight. Tropical storm Beta now taking aim at the U.S. coast. Up to a foot of rain in the forecast. Several states getting hit again. The New York City police officer tonight arrested, accused of being an agent of China. What the officer is accused of doing here in New York. And tonight, the lives we lost. As we near 200,000, the young woman who followed her dream of becoming a doctor. The grandparents, the mothers and fathers, the sons and daughters, the coaches. They touched so many lives, and we honor them tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to start another week with all of you at home. And tonight, as the nation mourns the death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, there is already a titanic battle to replace her. The president says he will nominate a woman by week's end and that he wants a vote in the Senate before Election Day. The outcome of this fight could influence the high court for a generation to come. Justice Ginsburg passing away Friday after more than 27 years on the high court and a career as a trailblazer for the rights of women and gender equality. Her seat on the bench now draped in black. And we learned today Justice Ginsburg will lie in repose at the Supreme Court on Wednesday and Thursday. Then she will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol on Friday, the first woman ever to receive that honor, before a private burial at Arlington National Cemetery next week. President Trump saying he will probably announce his nominee this week. And we learned just before we came on the air tonight, the president met with one of his top contenders, federal judge Amy Coney Barrett from Indiana. Federal Judge Barbara Lagoa from Florida, the daughter of Cuban immigrants, also believed to be atop the list. Justice Ginsburg's granddaughter said in her final days, her grandmother said it was her most fervent dying wish that her seat not be filled until there is a new president. President Trump responding to that statement tonight. And so we begin here with our chief White House correspondent, Jonathan Carl.
On the steps of the Supreme Court, the tributes are coming in. Inside, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat is draped in black. Outside, the political battle to replace her is already well underway. About 24 hours after her death, President Trump appeared before supporters who were chanting, "Fill that seat." He promised he would, and that his nominee will be a woman.
It will be a woman, a very talented, very brilliant woman.
NPR reported that Justice Ginsburg dictated a final statement to her granddaughter. One sentence long, it read, "My most fervent wish is that I will not be replaced until a new president is installed." Today, President Trump implied the statement was a fake, crafted by Democrats.
So that came out of the wind. Let's see. I mean, maybe she did and maybe she didn't.
He said he's going to announce a nominee by the end of the week.
Well, I'd much rather have a vote before the election. Because there's a lot of work to be done.
The president says he is considering five candidates. Sources involved in the process tell ABC News there are two at the top of the list. both now federal judges, Amy Coney Barrett and Barbara Lagoa. He met with Coney Barrett today at the White House. She is from Indiana and a former law clerk for Justice Antonin Scalia. She is a devout Catholic with seven kids and is strongly supported by anti-abortion activists. Her faith came up at her confirmation hearing for her current post.
The dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern when you come to big issues.
Coney Barrett insisted she wouldn't let her personal views affect how she interprets the law.
It's never appropriate for a judge to impose that judge's personal convictions, whether they derive from faith or anywhere else, on the law.
Barbara Lagoa is a former Chief Justice of the Florida Supreme Court. She was born in Miami. Her parents fled Castro's Cuba. The president seems to think picking her could be a popular move in a state he must win.
She's excellent. She's Hispanic. She's a terrific woman from everything I know. I don't know her. Florida. We love Florida. So she's got a lot of things, very smart.
Joe Biden is urging Republicans to hold off on replacing Justice Ginsburg until after the election. Among the things he says are in the balance, Obamacare, with its protections for people with pre-existing conditions. The Supreme Court will hear a challenge to the law just 1 week after the election.
And the people of this nation are choosing their future right now as they vote. To jam this nomination through the Senate is just an exercise in raw political power.
So let's get right to John Carl with us live tonight from Washington. And John, the president has said there he would like a vote in the Senate before the election. But even if it comes after, he's hoping that this battle will galvanize his base. I know that you're aware there's already evidence that from fundraising alone that this is also energizing the base for Democrats as well. It's hard to know how this will play out.
The president and his allies, David, welcome a headline that is not about coronavirus, but there is no question that this is already energizing Democrats, including many who were less than enthusiastic about Joe Biden. And overall, there is simply no doubt that this has intensified interest in a presidential race where interest is already off the charts.
No question about that. John Carl leading us off again tonight. John, thank you. Of course, the showdown that John points out already underway on Capitol Hill, 43 days until the election. Some voters already casting their ballots. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell tonight saying the Senate will vote on the president's nominee this year. Democrats calling that hypocrisy after McConnell blocked a vote on President Obama's nominee in the final year of his presidency. Back then, 8 months before the election, this time, of course, 43 days to go. Republican leaders say this time is different. The Democrats simply pointing to Mitch McConnell's own words 4 years ago. Here's Mary Bruce tonight.
On the Senate floor today, Republican leader Mitch McConnell with an unequivocal promise.
The Senate will vote on this nomination this year.
But that's not the position he took in 2016 when he refused to consider President Obama's pick to fill Justice Scalia's seat months before the election.
Let's let the American people decide.
McConnell now says this is different because the Senate and the White House are both controlled by Republicans. But Senator Lindsey Graham, as recently as 2 years ago, said Republicans would not take up a Supreme Court vacancy in an election year, no matter what.
If an opening comes in the last year of President Trump's term and the primary process has started, we'll wait to the next election. And I've got a pretty good chance of being the judiciary.
You're on the record.
Yeah.
All right.
Hold the tape.
But now, despite the tape, he's calling for the Judiciary Committee to quickly consider the president's nominee, telling Democrats, I am certain if the shoe were on the other foot, you would do the same. Democrats say it's blatant hypocrisy.
Why say it's this rule or that rule, and then do the exact opposite when it suits your interests? Why not just come to the floor and say, I'm going to do what's ever best for my political party. Consistency be damned, reason be damned, democracy be damned. Just admit it.
Four Republicans would have to break ranks and join Democrats to block a confirmation. So far, two senators, Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, both say this decision should be up to the next president.
All right, so let's get right to Mary Bruce tonight. Mary, as you point out, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski saying the Senate should wait until after the election. All eyes tonight on some other Republicans, including Senator Cory Gardner, for one. Facing a tough re-election fight in Colorado, of course, and Senator Mitt Romney, who has stood against the president before. And Mary, you have new reporting tonight involving Senator Romney?
Well, David, we've learned that Mitt Romney won't be speaking out on this issue until he has had a chance to meet face-to-face with his Republican colleagues here tomorrow. And just moments ago, we heard from another critical Republican, Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. He is making it clear tonight he supports moving ahead with this confirmation process, saying, quote, make no mistake, if the shoe were on the other foot, Senate Democrats wouldn't hesitate to use their constitutional authority and anything else at their disposal to fill this seat. David.
All right, Mary Bruce with us tonight as well. Thank you, Mary. Now to the coronavirus here in the U.S. as this country is set to mark that awful milestone, 200,000 lives lost now. The president saying, I deserve an A+. And the CDC with another major reversal after quietly posting growing evidence that the virus can also be spread by tiny particles in the air. By midday today, that evidence was taken down, that guidance. The CDC saying it was only a draft. ABC Steve Osunsami at the CDC tonight.
It's a heartbreaking figure. Scientists at Johns Hopkins University are reporting this evening that nearly 200,000 Americans have now lost their lives to the coronavirus. The president today in a phone interview says his response has mostly been very good.
On public relations, I give myself a D. On the job itself, we take an A+.
Joe Biden was in Wisconsin today giving the president failing grades.
He failed to act. He panicked. And America's paid the worst price of any nation in the world.
Today, the flip-flop of information from the CDC continued, which isn't helping people trust this important agency. On Friday, they finally acknowledged what some scientists have been arguing for months, posting updated guidelines saying that tiny droplets with the virus can travel more than 6 feet in certain settings like choir practices, restaurants, or gyms with limited ventilation.
We've known for months that COVID is transmitted when people cough or sneeze, but also when they talk and breathe and through aerosols.
This afternoon, the CDC took it all back, saying this was posted in error.
You know, I apologize on behalf of CDC for that. We weren't ready to put it up.
The quality of information from these agencies becomes more important as the weather gets colder. The number of cases is growing in 29 states and the island of Puerto Rico.
See, the American people rely on the CDC for clear guidance, including how the virus is transmitted. And this flip-flopping, which clearly is about political interference in the scientific process, I think makes it much harder for Americans to know what the right things are, what they need to do to keep themselves safe.
It's not clear when scientists here at the CDC are going to publish these updated guidelines on this issue, but public health experts say this helps make the point that it really doesn't matter if it's 6 feet or 16 feet where these tiny droplets spread. They believe the best suggestion is for people to always wear masks indoors. David.
All right, Steve Osunsami with us again tonight. Thank you, Steve. And now this evening, the lives we lost. It seems not long ago we did this to mark the 100,000 mark. Now, as this country prepares to mark 200,000 lives lost, we pause here to remember that these are not numbers, these are lives, and families forever changed. Tonight, we honor the lives lost. Dr. Adeline Fagan from Syracuse, New York. She was just 28 years old, and she had dreamed of being a doctor since she was a little girl.
She was playing Operation and trying to fix up her dolls, and she held on to that goal and she went for it.
Dr. Adeline Marie Fagan.
When she walked across the stage, and we were just beside ourselves, so proud because, you know, it was her dream.
She was starting her second year of residency in Houston, delivering babies during the pandemic and treating COVID patients in the ER. She started feeling sick and then fought the virus for 2 months, her parents traveling to Texas.
My mom told me that when she had to leave, she said to Adeline, Adeline, I love you, and she kissed her. And Adeline is, you know, loopy as she was, made a kissy face back at my mom. And so we know that she knew that she was loved and that we were there, and even till then.
There have been so many families forever changed. Helen Jones Woods, a trombone player. She was a founding member of the International Sweethearts of Rhythm. That's her on the right. The Sweethearts were the first integrated all-female big band, touring the country in the Jim Crow era and during World War II.
We had breakfast at 6 o'clock and we started rehearsing at 7. We rehearsed all day, you know.
In Florida, Kimora Lynham was just 9 years old. They called her Kimmy. She was going into the fourth grade this year when she got sick. Her mother, Makasha.
She was very talkative and just really, really happy. She made friends very easily. She was perfect.
Jermaine Stevens was a defensive lineman at California University of Pennsylvania. He would have turned 21 years old today. He died of a pulmonary embolism 10 days after testing positive for COVID.
We were sitting in the hospital talking about COVID-responsible kinds of celebration that we could do for his birthday. So to go from that to get to the hospital the next day and he's gone.
In South Carolina, 28-year-old Demetria Bannister, a third-grade teacher, singing during a field trip with her students. She made this video for her students last year.
I'm on my way to Windsor.
But this year, just a week after the start of virtual classes, she tested positive, and she died 3 days later. Tyler Emberge was 29, a youth hockey coach in North Texas. He began playing hockey at just 7, and it was through hockey he would meet his wife, Amy.
He always wanted his players to be stand-up human beings on the ice and off the ice.
He left behind a young daughter, Riley, and two youth teams mourning their coach.
There's the coach right there.
Bill Yeoman was the winningest coach in the University of Houston's history, winning 160 games, 4 Southwest Conference championships, and leading the Cougars to 11 bowl appearances. There was that surprise win at the Cotton Bowl in 1980.
It is history here at the Cotton Bowl, and Houston has rallied.
His son, Bill.
When he gave his word, he gave it. He meant it. So when he told a recruit that he would be there to coach him, he wasn't kidding. He got many offers to leave U of H for a whole lot of money, and his answer every time was, I told these players I would be here when I recruited them, and that's what he did.
Yeoman was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2001. In California, Brenda Sanchez fought COVID-19 alongside her mother, Jesus. Brenda made it through. Her mother did not. Her mother was just 54 years old. Her family singing her happy birthday. Joanne Reck had long worked as a nurse. She was living in a retirement community in Florida when she got sick. And when she was taken to the hospital for 90-year-old husband Sam, getting into full PPE to see her one last time.
You don't recognize me with all this junk on my face. It is Sam. I love you, sweetheart. I love you so much.
They were married for 30 years.
Finally getting to hold your hand after all these months.
Brian Sadler from Ringwood, New Jersey. He worked as a paramedic for 36 years on 9/11, racing to ground zero. His son, Thomas.
He used to tell people, no one dies on my ambulance. No one dies in my hospital. No one dies under me.
It was last year, at 60 years old, Brian fulfilled his dream of becoming an ICU nurse. Then the pandemic, and he was right there on the front lines. Isabel Papadimitriou was just a year away from retirement after 30 years as a respiratory therapist at a Dallas hospital.
She went into work bravely, despite knowing how dangerous it was, and she kept going in.
Her daughter telling us she would always send gifts and messages and videos.
Lots of kisses. Mwah. Bye-bye.
Isabel became a grandmother last year, and it was fitting that the grandmother who had sent so many gifts, the last gift arriving after she passed away, for her granddaughter, Lua, a pair of shoes.
I want Lua to know that my mom was a hero and that she stopped at nothing to be there for others.
Lua's grandmother was a hero. So many lives and so many brave families sharing their loss, their stories with us, and we thank them. And we remember, we honor their loved ones.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LipsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
As we're on the air here tonight, the states of emergency along the Gulf Coast, Tropical Storm Beta slowly moving toward Texas and Louisiana. The storm already battering communities in and around Galveston. High surf ripping apart the popular 61st Street Pier. Up to a foot of rain expected in some parts. Much of the same region still reeling from Hurricane Laura. A New York City police officer arrested, accused of acting as an agent of China. Authorities say Officer Baimadeji Angwang was taking orders from the Chinese government, allegedly reporting on activities of Tibetans here in New York. Accused of offering information on the NYPD, he's being held without bail. Finally tonight here, there are so many famous quotes. Tonight, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on marriage. She met her husband in school, the first boy, she said, who loved her for her brain. And the advice from her mother-in-law.
She wanted to tell me what was the secret of a happy marriage. And I said, I'd be glad to hear, what is it? And she responded, it helps sometimes to be a little deaf. And that good advice I have followed in every workplace. Including the good job I now have.
Justice Ginsburg will become the first woman ever to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol later this week, and we'll pay tribute.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table.
What is happening here?
It's just beautiful chaos.
Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view.
To be honest, I was thinking about asking him for a foot massage, and then I just froze.
This is the best gig on TV.
And you know, anything can happen.
That is what we do here.
I'm not going to lie, the chair's a little small for my behind.
The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.